Oh my gosh. So while I was getting ready, I'm going to try to use my iPad today. And I accidentally clicked a letter while I had everything highlighted and it deleted everything. I was like, if I lose everything on Google Hangout, I mean, not Hangouts, Google Drive, that's where my whole life is saved. That is the backup. So I had to stop for a minute and I was like, how do I undo on an iPad? But it worked out. It worked out okay. So we're
good. Yeah, I'm still using my phone right now because mom has that new iPad for me that she got through school.
Oh, yeah. Well, they're coming up this week, right?
Next Tuesday, so another week.
Gotcha. Next Tuesday. I wasn't sure what they were doing for Father's Day.
Yeah, I think mom wanted to stay for Father's Day, and she has to stay. Gaynell's having a procedure done or something on the Monday.
Oh, is she?
Yeah. So that's a month without my dog, and I was not prepared for that.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, speaking of, you saw Blake got a new dog?
I know. He's so cute.
He's such a sweetie, and he's got the squishiest face because he's
got
Shar-Pei.
A Shar-Pei. Yeah.
He's a Shar-Pei mix. And so I'm talking to mom about it before Blake even got him. I don't even think Blake had met him yet. And mom goes, I just want to make sure that I'm there with Blake whenever he gets the dog. And me, I'm thinking, oh, okay, she was with me. She just wants to make sure Blake knows that she cares, keeping your children equal.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow it came out to where she's like, yeah, because I just don't want the dog to think that I love Graham more. So,
well, you know what?
Graham is my dog.
It's the grandkids. So.
It's the grandkids. So I was like, skirt, hold up, back up. So you're worried that if you don't go to pick up Blake's dog, the human's dog, the dog is going to think you don't love it as much. And she's like, yeah, that's what I think. That's what I'm worried about. Oh my gosh, she's so ridiculous. It's hereditary.
Yes, this is It's Hereditary. I'm Haley.
I'm Caroline. Upon listening to the last recording, I'm the one that sounds like the basic bitch.
You were just very chatty, but you were also drinking wine and I was drinking coffee, so.
I was. You know. But I was like, oh, okay, very, very obviously I was nervous. And it showed. So.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm going to be the one everyone hates. But there's got to be one. And if it's got to be, I'll do it. I'll just suffer through it.
Well, I'm the one spouting out, wrong information while we're in, a corrections corner section thing, Yeah, there's no Mary Brown, though she was a character in Blair Witch Project. I had to look it up. It was Mercy Brown I was thinking of. You were right. But
I mean, she wait, yeah. What was that?
You were right.
And now it's recorded for all eternity.
But, that first episode is going to be rusty while we're trying to get into the swing of things. It already feels, better.
I already feel better. Yeah. I'm less sweaty.
Well, I'm more relaxed now because we're talking about ghosts this episode.
I was trying to finish. I was like, I'll just really quick while I'm laying in bed before I read last night, I'll finish up what I can. And I started writing and it wasn't I was reading. I was I'm scared. It was just as I was reading and writing it. And it was just a slow burn to be I'm thoroughly creeped out right now and I'm going to stop.
That was how I was for next week's episode. When I was writing that one, sufficiently creeped myself out.
Which, stay tuned to the end. We'll remember this time to give you a preview of what we're going to do next episode. We forgot to do that last time.
Oh, is that what we're doing now?
I mean, I think if we already have it up out there, it might be worthwhile. So, everybody stick around.
We also have updates on social media information at the end, too.
Okay, do you want to update now or you want to wait till the end?
We can wait till the end. It's not important right now.
Okay, so I guess we can just get into it then.
Yeah, I guess so.
Those are my updates. I think I went first last time.
You did.
Okay, so you got it this time.
Yes, and for everybody listening...
Let me get my blanket. Hang on. I mean, I'm here. I just need to get ready because I'm going to be scared. There's my dog. Okay, we're good. No okay. roommates here.
So, for everybody listening, this week's topic is haunted places in New Orleans, and we each picked a place.
Oh man, how can you pick just one?
I know, we're gonna have to revisit this a couple times. But unlike last week's episode, where Caroline knew ahead of time what I was gonna be doing, neither one of us knows what we're doing. So, yay, it'll be a surprise.
I'm equally excited and terrified.
So. Well, if it makes you feel any better, the hauntings at the place I picked, none of them are malicious or malevolent. They're happy okay. ghosts. So, shouldn't be too bad.
Is it a place I know, like, that I frequent?
100% it's a place you know.
Ah, oh, shit.
It's probably one of the most famous places in New Orleans.
Like, I go there?
You've probably been. Let me get there.
Sorry.
I am doing the Hotel Monteleone.
Oh shit! I was gonna do that one. Okay, good. I didn't do a lot of research, so good.
Yeah, I had originally picked Jean Lafitte's, but I was like, okay, I don't really want to do this anymore. So
we'll do haunted bars one day.
Yeah, that'll be yeah, bars that's theme. Fine. Okay, so sources I. used a lot. Hotel Monteleone has a lot of their own history, like, written on their website. So I got most of my information from them.
So they own it.
Yeah. Basically. A little bit from Wikipedia, onlyinyourstate.com, you know, places like Ooh. That. So, a good bit of this is going to be a history lesson. So,
You know, I love history.
All right. So, purchased in 1886, the Hotel Monteleone is still standing today as one of the most famous landmarks in the city of New Orleans. It's located on the corner of Royal and Iberville in the heart of the French Quarter, and it's actually one of the oldest family-owned hotels in the country. It's 5 generations of Monteleones have owned this hotel.
Wow, okay.
And it started with Antonio Monteleone in the 1880s. So he was a shoe factory owner, very successful shoe factory owner in Sicily. Mm-hmm. And he immigrated to America in 1880 and opened up a cobbler shop in New Orleans on Royal Street.
We need to post like a map of the city. Because yeah. we're like, yes, Royal Street, yeah, I am with you. And then it's like nobody else will know.
Yeah. In 1886, Monteleone wished to expand his business opportunities, so he bought a 64-room hotel. It was called the Commercial Hotel at the time. And by 1903, business was booming, and 30 more rooms were added as the family bought up the properties that were adjacent to the Commercial Hotel. In 1908, they jumped to 300 rooms being added.
Holy.
And after that expansion, they changed the name of the hotel to the Hotel Monteleone, which is what it's called today. Antonio died in 1913, and his son Frank stepped into the role of owner and continued to put his all into the hotel. In 1928, 200 more rooms were added, and that was just a year before the great crash in 1929.
Really quick, is this the one with the bar? Do you talk about the bar?
Uh-huh. Yeah, okay. I'll get there. Yep.
I can't remember.
So this family-owned hotel not only survived the hard times of the Depression and World War II, but it was kept up to Antonio's high standards. Like, it thrived during that time. It was frequented by celebrities of all types, but it is actually a literary landmark. It's one of 3 hotels in the United States that's considered to be a literary landmark. And those landmarks are usually, like, homes of writers, like their birthplaces or libraries and things like that. Faulkner, Hemingway, Tennessee Williams.
Oh, I hated Faulkner.
All of them frequented the hotel, and there are actually literary suites in the hotel today named after the writers.
Oh, that's so cool.
The other 2 literary hotels, one's in Manhattan, it's the Algonquin Hotel, and the other is in San Antonio, it's the Menger Hotel. And the Menger Hotel is also haunted, because of course it is.
So I know we're not staying.
Yeah.
In San Antonio.
Yeah. By 1954, the hotel was in desperate need of an upgrade so it could compete with the newer hotels in the area because, I mean, its foundation was pre-1886 when he bought it. He didn't build it himself. So it definitely needed some repair. So the old building was completely torn down and it was rebuilt.
So, why is 1886 a year that sticks out in my brain? Was that when New Orleans was established?
No, that was before that.
Okay.
Because we just celebrated, what, bicentennial? Try?
I think Tricentennial, New Orleans.
Yeah, yeah. So it was, city. Yeah.
Okay.
So yeah, it was before that. So the old building was torn down and a new version took its place. It's got ballrooms, dining rooms, cocktail lounges, and this is the bar that Caroline was talking about. The only revolving bar in New Orleans is the Carousel Bar, and it's probably one of the most famous bars in the city. It rotates like a little carousel, and it makes a full rotation every 15 to 20 minutes.
That sucker moves.
Mm-hmm. Like, it does. Yeah.
Moves. Yep. There's no way. Like, I was sitting in the bar drinking, not on the carousel. I was just watching the carousel, and I was like, I need to go. I'm going to be sick.
Yeah, you just got to pace yourself. So the Carousel Bar is one of the most popular tourist spots in the city, and visitors also gravitate towards the hotel in the hopes of catching a glimpse of some of the hotel's more permanent guests. Over the years, many guests and staff have claimed to have had paranormal experiences at the historic hotel. So, for instance, there is a restaurant door in the hotel that opens and closes on its own, but the door is locked. And there have been many sightings of ghostly children playing in the hallways that vanish into thin air after being seen.
Why is it always the children?
It's always the kids.
Oh!
Yep. So in 2003, the International Society of Paranormal Research, I want to go work National for them or go see Society. What that's about.
ISPR?
Yes, yeah.
Wow, okay.
They spent several days in the hotel, and they believe they made contact with over a dozen spirits.
No.
Yeah. Nope. Among the spirits they contacted were several employees of the hotel, one being William Red Wildermere, who died in the hotel of natural causes. Ghosts of staff members are often seen performing their normal duties. Like, they're not malicious. They're not harmful or any way.
Like, I want to work sometimes makes me want to die, but I don't want to stay there.
Right.
That's just sad. But, you know,
maybe it was like, it was a homey feel for them. Maybe they just felt safe.
All right.
I don't know.
No, I'm with you, but.
So there was also, a ghost that they call Solemn John, who was a businessman from Tennessee who committed suicide after one too many failed investments.
Oh, yeah.
He's been seen, and they had, somebody said that they saw two lovers on the rooftop that they made a suicide pact and aww, jumped. They're also believed to haunt the hotel. But those, like, when I was doing my research, I really didn't see any specific stories of encounters with them. Mm-hmm. This next ghost is the one that everybody sees. The most famous spirit that haunts the Hotel Monteleone is that of 3-year-old Maurice Bégère.
I was about to say, isn't it a little boy?
It's a little boy.
It's always the little kids.
Yes. During the late 1800s, the wealthy Bégère family stayed at the Hotel Monteleone often. Jacques and his wife Josephine loved attending the French Opera House on Bourbon Street, which I had to go look it up because I'm like, I would know if we had an opera house in the city.
Oh,
but
yeah.
It burned in the 1919 but as it's on the corner of Bourbon and Toulouse, so you want to guess what's in its place now?
A bar.
Pateau. A bar called the Old Opera House, but it's it closed recently, supposedly.
Oh, it's been like a field trip.
Know. Yeah, no, it's closed. But yes, it's on Bourbon Street, so of course they built a bar there. Lengthy operas were no place for a 3-year-old, obviously, even in the 1880s. So they entrusted Maurice into a nanny's care and went off to the opera.
Got a nanny cam it.
But while she was with him, he developed a fever. And one source I saw said it was yellow fever, but that it was only one place. And although he received care, it wasn't enough. He had a convulsion and he died. And again, it was the same. This one source that said he had yellow fever also had a different story of what happened after, and no other source of mine confirm this, so I'm just gonna ignore that story completely because it doesn't line up with anything else. So this one that I went with said that both of his parents did make it back to the hotel. Mm-hmm. That of course, grieving 3-year-old died. his mom didn't want to leave him behind, so she and Jacques return to the hotel year after year trying to make contact with him, hoping that his spirit would visit them, and he did.
You gotta watch those seances.
So this happened on the 14th floor.
Really quick, like, this isn't even a mean ghost, and I already have chills.
Yeah. This happened on the 14th floor, which, something weird about the Hotel Monteleone, when they were numbering floors, they skipped 13. So this is technically floor 13. It goes from 12 to 14 in the elevator. Like, there is no 13th floor.
Sweet mercy.
So on the 14th floor, Maurice appeared to his mother near the room where he died in a striped shirt, typical for children of that era. Maurice told his mother, "Mommy, don't cry, I'm fine." And the encounter left Josephine in tears, overjoyed at having a loving moment with her young departed son. So she got closure a little bit, like, he appeared to her and said he's okay. That's me. I am going to bring up the other one.
No,
the
bring
other
it up. I want to know.
The other one said that there was a carriage accident on the way back from the opera house, and his dad died before they got there. Ooh. And that the mom, so distraught at the loss of her husband and then finding out that her son died, she couldn't go on living by her, like, and she committed suicide.
Oh, but that was... Why would you lead with that one and end with the happy one?
Okay, but only one site had that as... what happened. So I'm thinking the other one's probably more true, maybe, hopefully. I mean, the other one involves a ghost, but I'm going with the one with the ghost as being the one that's more realistic.
Sure.
So anyway, Maurice's parents weren't the only ones who saw the boy. To this day, guests report seeing the ghost of a friendly toddler on the 14th floor. And that's the same floor that the International Society of Paranormal Research determined was a hotbed of paranormal activity.
I feel like a friendly toddler is something of an oxymoron.
Yeah, but I mean, he was just past the terrible twos. He was three, so maybe
Okay.
So people have reported strange noises, things falling off tables. Guests have been awoken to taps on their arms and shoulders, and I know you're freaking out. They've felt the presence of a person sitting on the edge of the bed that's woken them up. And they've seen strange shadows passing on the ceiling and on the walls. Really, though, little kids like that, like, the ghost encounter that I personally had was with, like, a four-year-old. I think he was about four or five.
I'm sorry.
So.
Rewind. What?
I didn't tell you about that?
I don't think so.
Back when I was working for, world-famous theme park named. Yes, a little boy died on the ride, and I definitely had an encounter. Anyway, moving on. One of the guests at the hotel said she gave details of her own encounter with Maurice. She said she was relaxing in bed one morning, and she looked up to see a young boy about 3 years old walk by the foot of her bed, and her husband had just left for a meeting, so she thought he left the door open. And she was kind of waiting for, like, a parent to come in looking for the kid that went wandering and wandered into someone's room. It didn't take her long to realize she saw a ghost. And another story from 2014, a couple and their two daughters experienced strange activity in the elevator, which would consistently stop on the 14th floor despite the button not being called for that floor. Like, the button not being pressed and no one calling it for the floor. There you go. The mother tried the elevator without the girls later, and it performed normally. But as soon as one of her daughters was with her, it would stop on the 14th floor. Like, Maurice was looking for somebody to play with.
Oh, no.
So, it's just a little Casper the Friendly Ghost. He just wants a friend.
I know.
And I saw something later that said something about a 10-year-old, but I couldn't find anything about a 10-year-old dying in the hotel. But they... reports are of children, plural, like they hear feet or they see more than one, like, shape. But Maurice is definitely the big one for the Hotel Monteleone. But yeah, it's downtown Royal and Iberville. Probably if you've ever seen a movie that's set in New Orleans, they usually show the sign that sits on top of the hotel that says Hotel Monteleone. But yeah, if you're ever in New Orleans and you want to get creeped out, go stay on the 14th floor of the Hotel Monteleone.
Well, that was really great. It was a great history lesson. I'm thoroughly creeped out.
All right.
I know I shouldn't be. I'm such a baby, but I have like cold
Shivers. You were the one that wanted to go for ghost second, so.
I know. Next week will be more my speed.
Yeah.
It'll be fine.
Be fine. But
I am glad you went first, because if you would have ended on that, I would have been up watching Veep for a really long time. Which is great if you haven't seen it. Okay. Awesome. Great job. Even though it scared me. You thoroughly scared me. Congrats.
So now I just get to sit back and drink my little mango Rita that I've got here, and you tell me a story.
Oh, are you drinking alcohol?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's way watered down because my ice is almost completely melted.
But. I've been wanting to try the mango one because I love mango, but since senior trip, like, I didn't even drink the strawberries because they were new then, and I cannot bring myself to do it. I just can't. So I'm doing water and tea. Because I played volleyball today.
That works too. That's fine. I'm not judging. I was drinking coffee last time.
Well, hopefully I'll sound less basic bitch this time and we'll know what the culprit is. Okay. So, for my story in Haunted New Orleans, which, you know, once again, why did I pick this? I did St. Louis Cemetery number 1.
Of course you did.
Of course I did. All right. So before I begin, I'm going to credit my sources proactively up top, unlike last time. Mm-hmm. So I used Fox 8 Live, Arcadia Publishing, FrenchQuarter.com, Ghost City Tours, and Destination America, which I think Destination America is a really good one if you just need some inspiration for haunted stories. They were really good.
Cool.
So.
Have you ever been to the cemetery? That's one of the places that I actually haven't been myself yet.
No, I don't. I feel like it's kind of the product of being from the area. Is I see that touristy stuff and I'm like, I'm not doing that. Like, no. So I've never done a New Orleans ghost tour or cemetery tour. But I want to. Okay. So I covered all my sources. Here we go.
Okay. Ready.
Now. So what I found, kind of contrary to what is considered popular belief, most cemeteries aren't actually haunted. And I'd venture to say it's because most ghosts want to haunt something that meant to them in life, like something that meant something to them in life. And since cemeteries, like, didn't, that's
why. It's also one of those things where generally ghosts, or what I've heard about ghosts, is they haunt places like where their spirits leave their bodies to, and by the time the bodies get to the cemetery, the spirit's long gone.
Exactly.
So,
now, however, St. Louis Cemetery number 1 is one glaring exception. So before I get into the happy haunts that linger in this cemetery, I want to give a little background on the New Orleans / South Louisiana cemeteries and kind of what they're like. Because you and I both know, and we kind of take it for granted.
Yeah.
But it is very different than most other places in the country.
Mm-hmm.
So for those who may not know, cemeteries in South Louisiana, specifically in New Orleans, look a lot different than other cemeteries. Because if you dig 6 feet under New Orleans, you're going to hit water. I mean, if you dig 2 feet under.
I mean, you're already below sea level in New Orleans. So.
Exactly. I mean, you dig 2 feet down. If you live below I-10, you're going to hit water. The water and table. If
it, first hurricane, those bodies are coming up. So.
Oh, yeah. So coffins buried underground would simply float back to the top with the next heavy rainfall, which happens pretty frequently since we live in a subtropical environment. I was going to leave work today, and someone walks in. Because you know if it rains, everyone's got to comment, oh my gosh, it's raining. It's like when you see cows. Someone's always got to comment about it. And literally, I moved out of my cubicle because it's sad and I don't have a window. And I looked, and it was just like, it was pouring. I go to the Weather Channel. There's no rain in the area. Nothing. It was done in 5 minutes, which is just typical. Sorry, I need to adjust. It's falling asleep. Okay. So, a good chunk of our tombs are above ground in crypts and mausoleums. So, you walk into a cemetery and you'll probably notice what's called the wall or oven vaults, which are gravesites stacked filing cabinet style, which is very morbid to me for some reason. Just sad.
A little bit.
Filing cabinets. Now, some of the graves are only slightly visible, but if you look down, you'll see proof that New Orleans is sinking. So, fun fact, after a body is interred in these types of graves, they're left undisturbed for 1 year and 1 day. Was it last time it was like a year and a day?
Year and a day. And then
that's weird.
That's the Ruguru, yep.
So, a year and a day. And then the body is shoved to the back of the tomb to make way for the next corpse, or the family can come and take the bones in a muslin bag. So basically those oven bolts.
That's so nice and so sensitive of them to just shove the bodies. Okay.
It makes you wonder why it's still haunted, right?
Yeah. I'd be pissed too.
Yeah. Be like, I was just trying to sleep. Leave me alone.
Yeah.
So St. Louis Cemetery number 1 is, of course, no exception to this aesthetic. It was originally built on the outskirts of the city in the marshy limits. St. Louis Cemetery No. 1 is now found closer to the city center thanks to the draining of the swamps and the development of the French Quarter. It was established by the Spanish royal decree on August 14, 1789, and is located at 425 Basin Street, just north of the French Quarter. And it's one of three Roman Catholic cemeteries in the city. So I don't think I've ever been to this one, but I think we stay at a camper resort next to St. Louis Cemetery number 2, but not number 1. Now,
I could not tell you where it is off the top of my head. I've never been.
Well, actually, maybe we do stay by number 1. I think maybe we do. I'll know this weekend and I'll check. So, walking into St. Louis Cemetery number 1, you'll find alleyways paved with broken shells and cobblestone dredged from Lake Pontchartrain in the mighty Mississippi. Crypts and mausoleums line the labyrinthine alleyways as vandalism and cryptic symbols decorate the tombs. Then between the quote-unquote paved streets and the massive crypts, it's no wonder Mark Twain labeled this cemetery the City of the Dead, which is kind of what we call most of them.
Yeah, but those mausoleums definitely would look like buildings compared to, you know, regular graves. They're right. Really tall.
Well, in New Orleans, I feel like in general, we just call the cemeteries the Cities of the Dead.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Or in the case of Nicolas Cage's grave, the eventually dead. I don't even know. Yeah, if anybody does know that, he has his own tomb. Why? Oh, it's part of your story.
Because it's my story. Everybody calm down.
Is that in number 1?
Would you just shut up and let me read?
Okay, sorry.
Okay. As I was saying, as the oldest cemetery in the city, it's no surprise it's also the most active in the nation and possibly the world. In the span of about a block, the ground holds over 700 tombs and over 100,000 dead, and still counting. So St. Louis Cemetery No. 1 is still an active gravesite, and for the low, low price of $40,000, you too can be buried among the pirates, aristocrats, politicians, killers, artists, and queens that are said to be buried there. Oh, I made
it. It's a bargain. That's a bargain.
Oh, is it?
No. No.
So when I was doing research, it made me think, our family, like, we're having family feuds over a gravesite?
Oh, God, yes.
You've heard about this, right?
Oh, I know. Yeah.
Please don't, like, will me a gravesite. Just don't. Just burn me and bury me under a tree.
There you go.
Anyway.
I definitely decided after Papa's funeral that the cremation is the way to go. Definitely.
It's the way to go. Oh, yeah. It's easier for everyone.
Yeah.
Did you see how is it Washington or Oregon? Now they're doing, like, you can use the bodies as, like, compost or something. Like, that's going to be a thing.
Of course it is, because go green.
So, I digress. Anyway,
first,
we're not here to make
judgments. All of the plastic straws are gone, and now bodies are being used as compost.
We're not here to judge one way or the other. It's just an interesting point.
Okay, go.
Now, in another true fashion to why we cannot have nice things, St. Louis Cemetery No. 1 has been broken into and vandalized so much that if you're part of the general public, like you or I, it can only be visited via tour guide. Because the Archdiocese of New Orleans closed it off to the public in March 2015 after a rather unfortunate vandalization of one of the more famous interred was left Pepto-Bismol pink. So there was a tomb that someone painted hot pink. So they were like, okay, we're done here. You got to pay. You got to pay the toll.
That's fair enough.
Okay. But, you know, don't worry, because even being closed off to the public doesn't seem to stop the haunts. Unfortunately. Now, the spirits that are still hanging around include everything from unnamed phantom figures to Civil War soldiers to yellow fever victims. Before I get into the official list of residents, I picked out three that are kind of the most famous. It's easy to see that things get a little crowded in the afterlife at St. Louis Cemetery number one. So one theory for all the activity is that the spirits have been stirred up by the number of graves broken into and vandalized over the years. And then another theory for all the activity is that it has to do with the large number of rituals and seances that have taken place there. So
God, just leave the ghosts alone. The seances, the Ouija boards, just don't touch it.
Leave them alone. They've gone through enough.
Right.
Okay. Now, for whatever the reason, the dead keep the living busy with their different appearances. Some ghostly citizens include Barthélemy Lafont, who was an architect and city planner that joined the Lafitte brothers in acts of piracy after the Battle of New Orleans. Paul Morphy, who was a chess champion.
Because his life wasn't interesting, so his afterlife has to be a...
I mean, I wasn't a chess champion. I'm just a B-rate podcaster currently.
Okay, continue.
Louisiana sugar mogul, Etienne de Boer, who was once a king's musketeer. Soldiers who fought and died in the Battle of New Orleans. Bernard de Marigny, who was a gambler credited with introducing New Orleans to craps, which, I mean, it seems like he was probably done the most out of all these guys.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to spend too much time on this one because I know you're going to want to do it. But the ghost of Delphine LaLaurie.
Yep.
How do you say her last name? I've heard it differently.
LaLaurie.
Delphine LaLaurie.
So, yeah, or that's how it's pronounced on... American Horror Story, Coven.
So we'll do that. Yeah. I always say it wrong and then people fuss at me. Not that I'm always talking about her. That'd be super weird.
Yeah, but, you know.
Super weird. Yeah, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time talking about her, but just in regards to kind of the end of her life and how she's been seen in the cemetery, it's said that she fled New Orleans after the misdeeds in her mansion were discovered, which we'll circle back to that in another episode.
She was messed up.
Oh, yeah. And although she's reported to have died in Paris, some believe her body was brought back to the Big Easy and dumped into an unmarked grave in St. Louis Cemetery number one.
I'm not going to say she didn't deserve it, but she really, really, really deserved it.
Yeah. Also, as a pop culture side note, Interview with a Vampire was shot in this cemetery, and that was one of my favorite movies.
Yeah.
Okay, now, on to the real... home run hitters, the big pop stars.
Because it's full of them.
Number one. Oh, yeah.
I'm ready.
So, superstar Spectre number one was a sailor during the 19th century. I feel like I'm like announcing a dating talk shit. He's a sailor in the 19th century. his name is Henri Vignon. So his name is spelled Henry, but I would assume it's Henri, but I'm going to say Henry.
Well, if it's spelled with a Y, it might have been Henry.
It's spelled with a Y. But I looked up his last name. It's pronounced Vignon, even though it's not.
So, yeah, like it might have been Henri.
Henri made his home at a local boarding house in New Orleans. So, as a sailor, he was away from home a lot, and he was often worried about his papers, which were official documents and included basically the deed to his family's tombs. So, while he was away, he asked the owner of the boarding house where he was staying to keep his papers in the event that he died or something happened to him. So it may come as no surprise that the moment Henry left, the owner sold all of his tombs, and upon returning to New Orleans, Henry was unable to get them back. To add insult to injury, shortly after Henry returned, he fell ill and died. And with no money to build another tomb or buy another one, and he was unable to secure his family's tomb, he had no place to go.
That sucks, but I guess there is reason that we still have these feuds today over grave plots.
That's a good point. I guess there's some merit there. So poor Henry was buried in an unmarked grave in the pauper section of St. Louis Cemetery number one. And a pauper section is basically the common grave for the burial of unknown or common people.
Mm-hmm.
I also like read indigenous people, which is kind of sad. But anyway. Now, in life, Henry was described as tall with blue eyes. This also comes from accounts after his life was over. So visitors have reported a tall man with blue eyes coming up to them and asking where the Vignon tomb is because he can't find it. He's also reportedly reportedly appeared at funerals where he asks if there's any room in the tomb for him.
Oh my God, that's so heartbreaking.
I know.
That's so sad.
And I really wanted to be brave and look up this stuff to post. I don't think I'll be able to do it. We'll see in the light of day if I'm braver. But apparently his apparition has appeared on someone's camera. There's a picture out there of him.
I will post that on social media if you want. I'll do it.
You can
I'll find him.
There's also apparently an EVP out in the ether where he says, "I need rest." And don't we
all? That's just so sad.
Don't we all need rest? It is sad. Yeah, right? But I don't know. He doesn't seem to be like a sad or morbid spirit. He just seems like he's really just trying to be a problem solver.
And he's just tired. Like, he's just tired. Come on.
Okay. So the next citizen specter I'm going to talk about is a man that goes by the name of Alphonse. Just that, like, Cher, I guess.
Or Beyonce.
Okay, or Beyonce. Wow, that might have shown my age. So like Henry...
Well, I mean, Beyonce's got her last name, but yeah.
But still, it's fine. So, like, go. Henry Vignol, he's also looking for a place to rest. Alphonse, however, is known to take a little more initiative in the form of taking visitors' hands and pulling them, like, to a stop in the cemetery. This is the part where I was writing and I just, like, slowly got chills last night. Because he then smiles wide and asks the person to bring him home.
Yeah.
Hitchhiking ghost.
Trip to the Haunted Mansion.
And then this I just kind of thought was funny because it's also reported that Alphonse gathers flowers off of other people's graves to put them on his own, which I just kind of thought was funny.
Seriously, he must have made a trip to Morgan City because did Gaynell tell you that she put flowers on Papa's grave and they disappeared the next day? Like that someone stole the flowers?
No.
Yeah.
Okay. I was going a different route with that, so I'm glad you said someone else, someone human stole it.
Oh, yeah, yeah, someone no. Very much someone alive. Someone stole the flowers.
Okay, so it's thought that Alphonse was murdered or betrayed by someone in the Pinay. We're going to go Pinay. I meant to look this up and I forgot. It's spelled Pinede, but I also know it's a South Louisiana name, and it's not going to be pronounced Pinede. Because when a visitor stops near that tomb, Alphonse warns them to stay away.
Ooh.
So, let me readjust for this last one, because she's important. Okay. Now, the last rock star that I'm going to talk about that still apparently walks the grounds of St. Louis Cemetery Number 1 is certainly not the least. It's the one and only Voodoo Queen of New Orleans, Marie Laveau.
Yep, and she is the reason why everybody goes to that cemetery.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why I didn't realize that she and LaLaurie were in the same cemetery.
Well, LaLaurie, they're saying she died in Paris, so it's only, like, allegedly she's
allegedly,
in.
Yeah.
And it's just said that people have seen her. Okay, so before I dive into the story of Marie Laveau, I want to give a really quick overview, or try to give a very brief overview on voodoo as a religion, before we get into it. So this part comes from NewOrleansFrenchQuarter.com. So voodoo came about because slaves from Africa's slave coast brought voodoo over to New Orleans in the 1700s. Excuse me. Now, as you and I know about New Orleans, but maybe everybody else doesn't, it really is kind of a city of combinations. So there's a ton of French influence, but you've also got a lot of Spanish influence, you've got the Caribbean cultures, you've got the African cultures, then you've got a ton of religious influences.
German, too.
Yeah. And Italian, too, if we want to keep going down the...
Yep, this is a little... It's gumbo. It's gumbo.
It's gumbo. It's just an amalgamation of lots of things.
Okay.
So that's kind of just to say that there's not kind of one... I mean, there is one culture, but it's a culture of many cultures.
Yeah.
So voodoo came to the Crescent City one way and then really just evolved into something else. It was heavily combined with the dominant religion in the area at the time, which was Catholicism. So, for example, in voodoo, this deity Legba controls the gates to the spiritual world. But in New Orleans voodoo, it changes to St. Peter. And even Marie Laveau herself. Marie Laveau was a devout Catholic. So voodoo itself is very much a religion with spiritual practices that honor and revere, you know, deities and ancestors. And it's not to be confused with hoodoo, which is a set of practices that's not tied to a religion. So you can be both, but it's not mutually exclusive. And the hoodoo is kind of where the gree-gree and the dolls come from.
Yeah.
Where all the scary things come from.
Yeah.
Okay, so very brief, probably missed some things, but you get the idea. So Marie Laveau was born in 1801, and though destined to become one of the most revered and feared voodoo practitioners in the history of the Big Easy, she came from humble, albeit very unclear, beginnings. We know she was a free woman of color who was married and then widowed. It says she was originally a hairdresser to wealthy whites, and that she traded not only in coin but also in secrets. So I was reading somewhere that they said that she just knew all the secrets that were going on at each kind of level of society, so she knew.
Well, I mean, when you get your hair done, you just talk. Exactly. Talk and talk and talk.
Precisely. So. You're right. Another story claims that she ran a brothel. Yet another one say she was a liquor importer. But regardless of her day job, most of the stories agree that Marie Laveau was a voodoo practitioner who did good for the good and bad for the evil. Or bad onto the evil. She was a good one. She practiced fortune-telling and was interested in the occult. The accounts also agree that she created herbal remedies that saved countless lives in New Orleans during the yellow fever epidemic. So hairdresser, rum runner, brothel owner, voodoo queen, it's not surprising that the lore and legend that surround Marie's life didn't die with her. So she died at the age of 86, but continues to be seen and summoned even today. Recognizable even in death by the red and white turban and colorful clothes she wore, people report seeing her even outside the confines of St. Louis Cemetery No. 1. Her ghost has been spotted in the French Quarter passing by her house at 1022 St. Anne Street. We're just going to have to, like, do a Google map and drop pins on all the places that we're talking about.
Yeah, that's fun.
And though people have tried to follow her, it's said that she just simply disappears. Now, within the cemetery, people say they've seen Marie walking between the tombs, sometimes alone and sometimes with Zombie, which was her snake familiar, which I had never heard, but I thought that was really cool. Now, Marie Laveau's tomb, yeah, she's like a historical figure, but she's probably so popular because when you visit her tomb, you'll find that it's marked by the black X's and offerings ranging from flowers to Mardi Gras beads to cups and bottles of water. And I read somewhere that some say this tomb is used as a distraction for her real one, which is around the corner. But too many, like, visitors have had experiences at this particular tomb. So I think that's kind of just people are just making up things. So even on the guided tour, upon coming to Marie's tomb, visitors report feelings of being touched, becoming suddenly ill, and hearing voices within the tomb. And those that mock Marie and disregard her beliefs are scratched, pinched, or shoved to the ground. Now, another reason it gets vandalized so frequently is because those who dare may ask the voodoo queen for a wish or a favor. So if you're interested in such a favor, you would start by marking her tomb with three X's while making the wish or asking for the favor. Then you'd leave. Now, if the wish is granted, the recipient must return to leave an offering at her grave. I don't really know what happens if you don't do this.
Bad things, I'm sure.
But I'm not going to find out, yeah. So, if perhaps you don't want to owe the Voodoo Queen of New Orleans, but would still like to see her, you're in luck. Because people say she materializes every St. John's Eve, which is in this month on June 23rd. So, if you're itching to see her without asking for any favors, you could do it this month. Now, to end my review of St. Louis Cemetery No. 1, I'd like to briefly bring attention to one of its more eccentric grave owners, which you almost ruined for me.
I'm sorry! I didn't realize he was in that one. I thought he was in a different one.
No, he's in this one. Nicolas Cage, I hate to admit it, but he's actually one of my favorite actors. I have, like, a guilty pleasure for Nicolas Cage.
National Treasure is an American treasure.
Oh, yeah. But I'm saying, like, he's got some trash stuff on Netflix, and it's just my favorite ever.
Have you seen Stolen? The end of Stolen is filmed at the abandoned Six Flags.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Have I seen Stolen? Come on. Okay. So Nicolas Cage purchased a 9-foot pyramid in the cemetery where he'll be laid to rest upon his death. I'm struggling today.
Is it marble or it's gold, isn't it? It's gaudy.
I think it's marble. Okay. I think I was writing it's marble. All I have is it's inscribed with Omnia ab uno, which is Latin for all from one.
Okay.
But the pyramid itself, because, I mean, you've been through the cemeteries or you've seen cemeteries in New Orleans, and pyramids are not super popular for Muslims.
No, they're not.
So between that and the Latin inscription, it's kind of made for, like, many a conspiracy theory around its meaning.
Mm-hmm.
And conspiracy theories aren't really my thing, but to just kind of end this on a fun-ish note, I'll give you a few that people have said about Nicolas Cage's marble pyramid. So people think that he's a closet voodoo practitioner, which I don't know why he would bother being closet, because lots of people still practice voodoo. One of my friends has a neighbor who practices voodoo and was trying to invite her to go to like a kind of like a Saturnalia thing that they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
And we were like, you need to go and tell us everything.
I know, right?
Yeah. I don't think it was Saturnalia, but it was something around like the something cool.
Yeah.
It said that Cage has Illuminati ties.
Yeah, okay.
This is my personal favorite. He's an immortal who will entomb himself for a century before reemerging after 100 years. That checks out. Or he stored all his wealth in the tomb, which to me would seem to be like a profound waste of theories and a tomb.
Well, didn't he go like completely bankrupt? And he had a house in New Orleans for a long time, but he had to sell it.
He still has a tomb, though, I think.
Yeah, he still has that, yes. But, I mean, selling a house is different than trying to sell a tomb, especially one that looks like that.
No, you just get your boarding house person to take care of it, apparently.
All right.
So, perhaps in 100 years, some other two basic bitches will be podcasting on the unearthly sightings of a tall man with crazy eyes walking the confines of St. Louis Cemetery Number 1. Who will be just another ghostly citizen in a city full of specters. And that is the story of St. Louis Cemetery Number 1.
Good job! And you hit a bunch of people, too.
I did. I feel like I didn't do Marie justice, but I'm
we can do Marie later,
she'll
too.
Pop up again. Okay.
She is the queen, so she'll probably pop
queen,
up later.
Yes, queen. Okay, so while we're trying to figure out how we're going to end this, I was actually thinking, because I saw something today, we could do a segment kind of like Stranger Than Fiction. That's what I was calling it in my mind today. On bizarre news stories. For example, please tell me, or maybe you didn't. I would like more if you didn't. That you saw today that Dobby the house elf lives. Did you see that?
What?
It's a story they were running today. So there's a video, it doesn't tell me where, but it was posted on Friday by someone who says they put it on the Facebook page. And it's a security camera at a home. And if you watch, it's just like, it's, if the headline wasn't Dobby the house elf lives, it would thoroughly creep me out because it's very, like, very uncanny. It's very creepy. But sure enough, this video, it's just, like, black and white, and it's nighttime, and, like, it's Dobby the house elf has lived. So, we cover lots of stories that are stranger than fiction. So, in the world today, that is what I found.
Oh God, no, I did not see that. Okay, let me see. But you know, I get my news stories from my Facebook news feed. So,
and I just love when you get them from a Facebook news feed. But I'm gonna send it to you, and we'll post it. The Stranger Than Fiction story of the day is that Dobby the house elf lives, and if Harry Potter didn't exist, this little being would be the creepiest thing I've ever seen. And it's you know, 10 seconds, and it's just with the big ears. Oh, it's the creepiest thing ever. so creepy. So if you have weird hometown, bizarre Stranger the Fiction stories, we want them so that we could talk about them.
Yeah. Yeah.
So. And that's that, I think. Social media. Do you want to talk about
that? Social media. We set up, there is a Facebook page. It's Hereditary, the podcast. And then we have an Instagram. It's Hereditary Pod, which is also our Gmail. It's hereditarypod@gmail.com. If you wanted to share those stories with us, that's the way to do that.
Or Twitter. Twitter is, if you search, It's Hereditary Pod will come up, but the handle is Hereditary Pod.
So they're all. Yeah, Caroline's in charge of Twitter because I don't use Twitter.
We'll hook them up and then it'll be easy for both of us to use.
Okay.
So. All right. Well, sweet dreams, everyone.
Yeah.
Oh, my lovelies.
I gotta say, though, none of our ghosts were, like, malevolent or malicious or anything like that. So, you know, I actually feel okay.
Yeah, well, speak for yourself.
Yeah, but you're a chicken, so. Go cuddle with your dog. At least you have your dog there.